Okay, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. It is E3 2018, and we just got finished watching the Microsoft presser. All sorts of games. I think the rundown they had was like, 50 games, 18 exclusives, and a partridge in a pear tree or some crazy nonsense. We're going to give as succinct but yet appropriately detailed go over as we can here. Jeff actually also stopped in for the reactions portion. So if you listen to this on the RSS feed and you want to see what his reaction was live and mine, that's going to be on YouTube. Of course, youtube.com/lifesaglitchtv. You'll be able to check it out there. It should already be up by the time you're listening to this. So Microsoft kicked off, as you might expect, with Halo. They showed off Halo Infinite, was the title of the game. And apparently it's also featuring, as they put it up underneath the title there, the Slipspace engine, which I guess is, to my knowledge anyway, a new engine. So I guess they're building this all new. And it looked good. It looked like Halo. And we didn't really see too much other than some canned cinematic-y looking stuff. However, it's Halo, and lots of people are going to be very excited about it. It looked like Master Chief was properly in the game the way that it looked there. So that was also positive to see, I suppose. But yeah, not surprising. We got our Halo fix right off the rip. They got that right out. Off we go. Phil Spencer comes out on stage afterwards, gives us the rundown on what we're going to see. Ori got shown off for the next Ori game. We got Will of the Wisps looking really good for sure. The Ori team always, seems to smash it. This doesn't look any different. This looks like a very good game. It looks like if you like to use some Ori in the Blind Forest, you're going to like Ori and the Will of the Wisps. That looks like it's going to be something that you're going to want to definitely get your hands on. Then we got something that I have this scratched out here in my notes, a couple of things, because we were like following along with the chat too. People were thinking it was going to be Ghost of Tsushima, and it ended up being another game. This was by, I don't know if they're making them in parallel or if they changed the name of the game, or I don't know what's going on. All I know is that Dark Souls Samurai-looking games apparently are very popular, because we got Sekiro, I believe was the name of the game, and that was from FromSoft, if I also remember correctly, and it looked like Samurai Dark Souls. I mean, down to they had a section where a video where the guy was opening, a big double cathedral doors, and it just so much Dark Souls for sure. But it looked good, and I'm sure that a Man vs. Game is somewhere crying tears of joy right now if he didn't already know about the game. Then we got Fallout, for the sake of Fallout, showed up, God Howard showed up on stage and told us about the fact that Fallout 4 was coming to the Xbox Game Pass. And there was a lot of Game Pass stuff going on in this conference. They're really pushing that as a service, and they've added a crap load of value to it. So we'll get into that more, I'm sure, as we go down through my list of notes. But Fallout 4 coming to Game Pass, you got it. I think it's actually available now. We got first look at Fallout 76. So Toddy Boy was paid off enough by the fine friends underneath Phil Spencer's Rolodex to show it off first at the Xbox presser. And it looked like more Fallout 4 to me. However, apparently it's four times the size of Fallout 4 in terms of, I suppose, the map. But I don't know if that also means content or if it's just the size, geographically speaking. Who knows? But it definitely looked a lot like it was more Fallout 4. So if you liked Fallout 4, then good news. We've got some more Fallout coming, and it's called Fallout 76. We'll see, I'm sure, more with the Bethesda later on this evening, more of that game, and maybe we'll have more to say about it. But for now, that was my takeaway, was it looked like they were reusing Fallout 4 assets to get some more money out of those assets that were already created to save up some cash for what is likely Elder Scrolls 6. Crackdown 3 made an appearance in what was kind of an awkward, go, because I mean, they just announced that Crackdown 3 was delayed until 2019. It was very much full of Terry Crews, and we all love Terry Crews because he's amazing. Jeff hadn't got here yet, but my opinion and most of the people, if not everyone in chat, agreed with me when I said it looked uninspired, and perhaps the most damning thing about it was that it looked dated. The game looked like a game that should have been around 5 years ago. Like it didn't look like a game that's coming out in 2019, and certainly not a game that looked like it's coming out as a console exclusive, marketed big title in 2019. It didn't strike as such. Hopefully with the extra time that they have, they can maybe spit polish it a bit more and make it a little less about, feeling a little less like that. But for now, that's kind of what it gave off the impression. And I wasn't really feeling it, if I'm going to be honest, which makes me sad because I want to like that, everything that Terry Crews does, because Terry Crews is amazing. What else we got here? Next up, we had Metro Exodus. And Metro is, of course, a very loved franchise. I never really get a chance to play it myself, but I've always heard great things about it. Metro Exodus looked fantastic from a graphical standpoint, but all the Metro games were always quite graphically impressive. The voice acting seemed great. The trailer was actually just very hype in general, and so it might be one that you want to go and check out whether or not you're actually interested in the Metro series. It looked really good. Then we got some Kingdom Hearts, which is on the Xbox for the first time. And I'm not particularly shocked about that because Kingdom Hearts 3 has been in development for Lord knows how long. It's probably a very expensive game at this point. And for them to lock it up on a single console, even though PlayStation is doing leagues better than the Xbox at this juncture, and probably for the rest of this generation, stands to reason that they would want to put it on as many platforms as they can. So it is coming to Xbox, and it looked like some more Kingdom Hearts. It was kind of weird. Like this doesn't say anything about the game necessarily, but there was this really long section of the trailer they showed off where there were zero sound effects. There was music in the background, but there were zero sound effects. And since the music wasn't particularly like super hype or very full in how much was going on, it seemed unfinished, and it felt kind of weird it felt awkward to watch. But it also had some super cringy dialogue. Not that that's anything that anyone who's a fan of the Kingdom Hearts franchise wouldn't already be used to, Elsa's there. Let it go, let it do. Kingdom Hearts on the Xbox. Next up, we got Forza Horizon 4. And I was personally, I thought that we were going to get a Forza game. I thought we were going to get a mainline Forza game at E3, but we got a Forza Horizon 4. I'm not particularly upset about that. Horizon is a really good franchise, and it's pretty much the spiritual successor to Project Gotham Racing, which was one of my favorite racing games growing up. So I'm all down for it. I'm all down for it. It looked good. In fact, it looked really good. Graphically speaking, it was one of the most striking games that we saw throughout the entire conference. It looked spectacular. They have a big focus on seasons this time around, and it seems like they were saying that the seasons are obviously going to change gameplay up a bit. I mean, you could take stabs at things like leaves on the track in fall are going to make your tires lose grip, whatever. Or maybe it's just visual. Either way, it looked really, really good. There were also like this odd focus on the fact that you could drive vehicles through like stone walls and stuff. That's in Britain. It's hosted in Britain this time around, and so obviously lots of in the British countryside, old farm rock walls abound, and so driving through those, it was like, hey guys, you don't just, your car doesn't just stop now. If you have a big, hulking off-road vehicle, you can totally drive through this thing. And so they showed that off many times, but it looked great. And again, this was the theme with a lot of the first party stuff from Microsoft, Game Pass gets it day one, and it looks like this is going to become more of a thing for Microsoft, whereby at the very least, I would assume if it's a first party title, that you're going to be getting these games on Game Pass on release day. It's no longer a delayed release there, and that brings a ton of value to Game Pass owners or users. Very cool to see that. Then Microsoft, in that same vein, when it comes to the first party thing, Phil came back out and he said, "Hey guys, look," this is paraphrasing a little bit, but he came out and said, and by a little bit I mean a lot. Okay. Philly comes out and he says, "Guys, look, we at Microsoft are swimming in filthy, filthy money. Just so much money. And we know that we need to dramatically up our first party titles game because it's weak. It lacks strength. It is unathletic and awful in just about every way. It's anemic, and we need to change that." So he starts this off by saying we have a new in-house kind of first-party developing developer that we're booting up. It's called The Initiative, and it's a studio focused, what it sounds like, exclusively on new game experiences. So more unique stuff than perhaps what's already in the market. Then he said, "But wait, there's more!" They bought a bunch of companies up, and some of them are more substantial than others, but there's not really a necessarily weak pick amongst all of these. The first one he mentioned is Undead Labs. I have no idea who Undead Labs are. I'm going to Google search this bad boy right now and see what they did. Undead Labs, hook me up with some context. Wikipedia. They do State of Decay. There you go. That answers my question. So State of Decay, so they own them now. They're under there. They are part of the first party family at Microsoft. Then he said after that, Playground Games. And Playground Games are the guys who did the Forza franchise, or the Forza Horizon franchise specifically, sorry, which is really cool. That's probably the biggest pickup here. And he slid into our DMs a bit, and he said, "By the way, they are building a new open world game." There was no other information. We didn't know the genre or what, nothing. Just that it was happening. So it's not just Forza Horizon games that they're going to be cranking out. It's going to be other stuff, and they're already apparently working on something. So when we're going to hear about that, Lord only knows, but it was just, I guess, to make sure that we understood that they weren't going to be just slaving away at one title for the rest of the studio's life. Above and beyond that, there was another one, Ninja Theory, who was the developers behind Hellblade, which was a game that went over very well recently. They're on board. And again, another one, Compulsion Games, who did We Happy Few, also on board. So, what is that? What is that in total? Well, including The Initiative, you got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 different studios joining in under the first party family for Microsoft. You got to hope then that that's going to really help bring something that's going to be a console selling experience for Microsoft's gaming division, because they need it. And there are some good pickups here. There are some talented people that work across the board in these developers. And so that was a positive thing all around for sure. Then they led in with some PUBG video that I was confused why they were talking about exclusivity. But at the end of the trailer thing that they showed, which was just such a silly trailer that did not show what PUBG is like whatsoever. At the very end, it showed just a brief little hint at what could be a snow map. So maybe Xbox is getting a timed exclusive of a new map or an exclusive map. Who knows? But it seemed to be leaning towards anyway. And so we'll have probably a better idea about that, I'm sure. Hopefully not in the too distant future. Following that up, we had the Division 2 trailer that was a slow burn to find out that it was the Division 2, but we eventually pieced it together. And, there has been a lot of talk from Ubisoft even specifically talking about how they're focusing so much on trying to make the Division 2 demonstrably better than the first one, because there was a lot of mistakes made in the first one and they spent a lot of resources and time trying to bring the first one back. And they did a pretty good job with it. So people were really hoping that the Division 2 took those, you know, lessons and really ran with it. And we'll have to find out, because we saw some gameplay with the classic Ubisoft canned dialogue between would-be players online, and it was, you know, the usual cheese fest that ends up entailing. But it looked exactly like the current iteration of the Division, but ever so slightly prettier. So we need to see more, and Ubisoft, I'm sure, will have more for us. But for now, that was pretty much what we ran with. And it just looked like the current iteration. So if you're into the Division as it stands right now, from what we've seen at the Microsoft presser, you might continue to be pleased with the next Division. If you're like me and you were hoping that they would take a bit more of a turn away from where the current Division is, not dramatic, but a bit of a turn, we're going to have to wait and see how much that becomes a reality. Again, I have just in the notes here, Game Pass getting a lot of good value, a lot of good day one ads, like we talked about. Tomb Raider, Shadow of the Tomb Raider, got a trailer in there, looks great. Most of those, if not all of the Tomb Raiders after they rebooted, looking really, really good. Then the internet got trolled, like really bad. And it was pretty funny. I got trolled, everyone else was getting trolled, the chat was just losing it. So, I mean, if you haven't kept up with the lead up to E3, for whatever reason, there's been a lot of people hoping for Skate 4. And if you don't know what Skate is as a franchise, it's basically a more realistic Tony Hawk Pro Skater type situation. And people were looking forward to, like, let's hold out for Skate 4. I still don't know the genesis of it personally, but it was a thing and it was pretty wide reaching. And so we get this trailer showed up, and it's looking more and more like Skate. And I was even saying it on the reactions, and so if you're on YouTube, you've already seen me react to it. But like, if you're listening to this on iTunes or something, you could see me reacting to it, going, "Oh, this is it. Is this really happening? The internet is getting Skate 4. This is the dream." And then at the very end, they pop the title card, and it says Sessions, and everyone it was such a roller coaster, but the roller coaster dove off real quick. Rex, how did you get in here? You're in here now. But yeah, so that was absolutely amazing. Hold on, now he's trying to get out. He's like an idiot.
You want in or out? You want in or out? Come on. Come on.
I don't even know how we got in here in the first place. So yeah, there you go. Sessions. That happened. And the internet weeped. Next up, we had Devil May Cry. Devil May Cry 5 got a trailer. And it was definitely Devil May Cry. They chose some really bad music for that trailer that just did not help whatsoever. The character design for what seemed to be the second to Nero, or whoever ends up being the lead for this game, just was a scary lady who should not smile that often. And definitely go check it out. It was an interesting trailer is how I guess I'll put it, but it just looked mediocre. I mean, it's a Devil May Cry game, so I'm sure it's going to be, or it should have, some pretty exciting combat. Of course, but it just didn't, from the trailer, didn't do it any justice whatsoever. Then they brought out the developer and a translator with them, and there was some good jokes, some good memes. Everyone laughed. It was great. But yeah, Devil May Cry 5. Cuphead, surprisingly, made a showing. I didn't think after all the work the Cuphead would have taken that they would do this, but we do have some expanded content, what looks to be some more levels, and then on top of that, a new character called Miss Chalice, but it's called Delicious Last Course. So that's titled in such a way that makes me think this is all we're going to get, and I don't blame them. That's a lot of work to do a game like Cuphead, all that hand-drawn animation, but that's pretty sweet, because Cuphead is pretty damn awesome. So everyone was pretty psyched to see that. Then we got Tunic, which is Zelda but a fox. And I had no idea this was the case, but apparently the developers from right here in Halifax, Nova Scotia, where Jeff and I live. So that made us, or I guess for the sake of the pun, made our ears perk up pretty quick. And it looks pretty neat. It does look like about as close of a ripoff of SNES era Zelda that you could get without getting sued. But for better or worse, we'll see how that ends up going. But it did look pretty neato. So we'll see what happens when that pops up in the future. Then we got Jump Force. Oh God. Okay, this was. If I just told somebody, hey, I've got this new game, it's called Jump Force, and you tried to piece together in your mind, like, your first impressions of what that game was likely going to be, the genre that it was in, and in what it entailed, etc., etc., I guarantee you it would not be what the game actually is. There's not a chance in hell that it would end up being what the game is. And let me tell you what it is, if you don't already know. Jump Force is a hold my beer if you think Marvel was the craziest crossover of all time video game anime version, where we had Dragon Ball Z characters, we had Goku, we had Frieza, we got Naruto was in there, One Piece characters were in there. Yeah, a smattering. It's just Animu, the video game, and it looks like it's a fighting game. Like a crossover fighting game or something like that. Apparently I'm being on the fly informed by Graphic right now in quotation marks. The name Jump Force is a nod to the Doujin magazine. I probably massacred how to pronounce that magazine, where these franchises premiered Shonen Jump. Great. So there is a small subsection of people, probably who this game is targeted towards, honestly, who might have gotten that reference. I definitely did not. But yeah, it's a game with a lot of crossover of various anime. One Punch Man was not included. I was very sad. I expected the end of the trailer, you know, to be One Punch Man. It didn't happen. Instant no buy. No, I don't know, but it was definitely a very odd game. It was one that I never would have expected to pop up in the Microsoft browser. So I guess there's that. They got me. They caught me off guard. There's already been three iterations of this, though. Really? So apparently, mostly on the DS. Oh well, I mean, fuck me. I'm just obviously not ingrained deep enough in the anime culture and video game culture to have known. What do I know? So there you go. Well, you're getting a modern console flashy version of whatever's been on, I guess, the DS in the past. So there you go. There's your full experience from beginning to end. Dying Light 2, I just have it written down, meh-tastic, mirror's edge movement with decisions. This game will be a lot better than Metastic if the decisions, you know, because so many people, I said this in the reaction, so many developers, so many publishers have come out and said, look, this is the game where, you know, finally your decisions are going to have an impact on other characters and the game world around you, etc., etc. And it never really happens to the degree in which they pitch it to you. So if this is the game that actually does that, then so be it. And I will be thrilled, and it will be great. And if not, then it looked like a game that could blend in with several other games on the show floor. So I guess we'll have to wait and see a little bit more on that. Battletoads, a Battletoads title. was shown on screen. We didn't really see any gameplay footage. We just saw the tongue show up, and then the Battletoads title card popped up, and they tried to make some really bad kind of fourth wall breaking puns that didn't really go over. But hey, Battletoads, I guess. If you wanted more Battletoads, you're going to get it. Just Cause 4 also being shown off, looking an awful lot like every other game that I've saw pretty much at the CE3 so far. And that's actually a bit of a... something I said during the reactions is you could do a supercut of, oh man, 5 or 6 games at least that are so similar in how they look and play that it would all, if you cut it properly, you'd pretty much not be able to distinguish between the games. And it's not great. Personally, anyway, it doesn't really get me excited when everything starts to blend together. Then we got a Gears Tactics mobile game or something that popped up. That was odd. And the crowd was so dead on that announcement. So like almost just, honestly, the crowd was probably ready to kill somebody, but then they very quickly, swift as a coursing river, popped up on the screen, Gears 5, and everyone cheered, because thank God, the old bait and switch. It looked, at this point, Jeff had been in for a while with the reactions, and he said something that definitely seemed to strike true, and that was that the game looked an awful, like gameplay-wise, looked an awful lot like Dead Space. For better or worse, because Dead Space obviously had some pretty good moments to it. But it's more Gears of War, continuing the story. And if you're invested in Gears of War, you're probably going to be very excited about it. And if you're not really full-blown invested into Gears of War, then Gears of War 5 is unlikely to get your motor turned over. But it looked like Gears. Graphically looked pretty good. There you have it. Then we got a little spiel. Phil comes out, he gives the same speech basically every E3, and it pains me, but he started talking about how Microsoft is really investing in their games division, using the resources available to them from the main company, things like AI, game streaming out of the cloud, mentioning next consoles being developed, so we're already getting the mentions of, it's like if you, in case you weren't sure, they're happening. We're getting some more consoles. It's en route. You'll never know until later, I guess, but they're coming. And that was pretty much it that they wrapped up. And then there was like the borderline overplayed hack thing where all the screens got hacked and everyone thought it was over, but it's not over. Like the one more is like, you activated my trap card. And then they showed Cyberpunk 2077. And it looked pretty damn cool. No real gameplay shown, but it looked very, very cool. It put me at ease a bit because, this is coming from the guys who did the Witcher series. And while the Witcher series has always kind of interested me, the setting and whatnot and the combat was never really my gig. So while we didn't see any gameplay, this is definitely seeming like it's something that's more up my alley, and I'd love to be able to experience something from CD Projekt Red in a way that I am more interested in. And there you have it. That was a first look, Cyberpunk 2077. Now, of course, it's not exclusive to Xbox. And overall, I mean, the conference was not a particularly weak conference. I mean, they showed an absolute cornucopia of video games. And a good chunk of exclusives of various degrees of exclusivity. And but despite the fact that it wasn't bad, and they really added a lot of value to things like the Game Pass and whatnot, it still didn't feel like Microsoft did enough for what they need right now in their current situation, market share wise and whatnot, like what to cap, to capture people. Honest to God, it looks like Microsoft is partially conceding the rest of this generation to build up its development, first-party development houses, and its services for whatever comes next. That's what this feels like to me after seeing this conference. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. Microsoft has the money to weather the storm, and I doubt the game division at the Xbox game division is really, you know, losing money hand over fist or anything like that. But I think that's, you know, kind of the takeaway that I had after having watched that and seen what they had to deliver. Just didn't feel like it was enough. They needed something better than that. They needed one or two games that were exclusives that nobody would have expected, that just had that were just heavy hitting and console exclusive, and just give us that. But that's not their strategy, and that's fine. I think we're going long ball here. We're going a little further out, and that's fine. We don't know how far out a little longer out is, but when they come out with a single year buy up and creation combination of five different developers for their first party development for the game division, that's substantial, right? That's a big investment, and it at least signals that they are looking to bring things back again. You know, it really. The launch of the Xbox One really, really, Don Matrick heading that division and the decisions made basically killed the Xbox One for the entire generation. And they can make small strides to bring it back towards the end, but they've got a lot of rebuilding to do. And it's going to require, I think, more time than they have allotted to them in this generation. And so maybe it's not a bad idea that they went this route. I'm at least comfortable with seeing them do things like that to feel like they are planning on taking it somewhere and not just, you know, tossing the whole thing out. So that's positive for sure. But that Game Pass thing, I think the Game Pass is the biggest takeaway from Microsoft at this conference, is there's a substantial amount of value added to that. And if they're going to take up this habit of releasing first-party games, and when they have the opportunity with partners, third-party titles on day one for launch, with these games for Game Pass, that's actually really substantial. And I think that's going to go over quite well with people, and it will give them a good strong basis for that service moving forward, for sure, to say the least. So that's it for Microsoft. I'm going to go and, you know, cut this up and get this up for you guys to listen to and watch on YouTube. And et cetera, et cetera. So I hope you guys have enjoyed it. This is the Microsoft conference for E3 2018. It is, what time is it? It's 7:15 my time. I believe the next conference is Bethesda at 10 or 10:30 my time. So we're somewhere between 3 and a little over 3 hours away from the next round of that. I will be here, so if you're on Twitch, make sure to keep an eye out on socials, or just come over here when you know that we're like 15 minutes out from the next conference, and I'll be here. We will continue to do this. Whether or not Jeff or Panic is here is up to them and their schedules. And then I will be seeing you for that. So thank you once again for watching on YouTube, guys, and listening on the RSS feeds. And until we see you for the next conference, enjoy E3.